Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There are times in life when we experience something or we become aware of something that we were never aware of before, and it changes how we look at life. Maybe it was the first time that you traveled out of the United States and got to see what life looks like in another country, and that had such an impact on you that you came back and you kind of amended your lifestyle here in light of what you had experienced elsewhere. Or maybe it was the first time that you set foot in a big city like New York City after having been raised in the country or on the farm and discovered what city life was like, and it opened up a whole world for you, and you kind of decided that maybe you'd like to live in the city someday. Or maybe it was the first time after you first time that you got to hear a symphony after having grown up on rock and roll music and realized that music could be much more than, as Bono of U2 once said, a red guitar, three chords, and the truth. Whatever it was, though, this experience changed everything in your life from there on out. You did not know this before, now you know this, and now life is somehow different. This is what St. Paul says happened to him when the resurrected Jesus made himself known to Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul's entire life got upended. He could no longer look at the world in the same way that he had looked at the world before. Everything for Paul, having experienced that encounter with Jesus on the road, everything was now reoriented around the truth of who Jesus is and what Jesus came into this world to do. That's why Paul begins this morning's portion of the epistle lesson today, which comes from 2 Corinthians, by saying, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him in that way." What Paul is saying here is that at one time he, using the editorial he looked at his fellow human beings from a fleshly point of view. They were people to be loved if they were lovable, and for Paul, if they were striving to be faithful Israelites, that's when Paul could love them. And they were people to be hated, people to be rejected, if they were seen to be the enemies of God, if they were on the outside. They were people, Paul thought, who needed a lot of law preaching to get them to be obedient to the Torah, but if they were striving after that obedience, then Paul would say that is great. And if they were Christians, of course, Paul thought they were people to be rounded up, people to be arrested, people to be taken to the magistrates so that they could be tried for their heresy against the Israelite faith. And Jesus, Paul thought, was just one more false messiah in the lot of false messiahs that were beginning to pop up around Israel in that day. That was Paul looking at humans and Jesus himself according to the flesh, as he says. But then Jesus intervened, and that changed everything for Paul. By striking him with blindness, and then by healing him of his blindness, and by baptizing him into the name of Jesus, what happened was Jesus moved Paul to see that he is in fact the true Messiah. He was not a false Messiah, as he held before, but in fact he is the true Messiah. And what that means, of course, for Paul now, is that as the Messiah, he has come into this world to die for the sins of the world, and he has come to rise from the dead to bring about a new creation, to bring about a new reality. And what that means is that human beings are not merely people who need to be tamed by the law. No, what Paul came to see is that we are all sinners, every one of us, Jew and Gentile alike. We are all sinners who are deeply broken, who are sin-sick, who cannot rescue ourselves, and who need outside intervention. We need outside help. We need Jesus to come and rescue us. In other words, Paul got upended by the gospel to see that everyone is someone that Jesus died for. And that's so important. Paul no longer looked on a group as this people are the enemy, but he saw that everyone is someone that Jesus died for. And that changed the way that he looked at the world around him from there on out. You know, people aren't loved by God because they are obedient and they do the right thing. People are loved by God because God loves sinners. That's what Scripture tells us. And God wants to rescue sinners. God wants to bring wayward people back into his family, much like the prodigal son in this morning's gospel lesson. God is yearning to bring us wandering sheep back into the fold. That means that other people aren't really the enemies. But we make other people the enemies so much today, in so many ways. They're fellow sinners who need to be saved. That's who other people are. Sin, death, Satan, those are the real enemies. Those are the real problems in the world. Those are the things that need to be dealt with. But talk about a mind-blowing upheaval of how you look at the world. When you start to look at other people from the place of these are just sin-sick people like I am who need to be rescued, there's a lot more room for grace. So Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, and to be in Christ is to be in Christ through baptism and faith. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Actually, the Greek that this is translated from is a bit rougher, but also a bit more dramatic. The Greek says, so if anyone is in Christ, new creation. Paul doesn't even have a there is there. He just explodes out with new creation. That's where a new creation has erupted. That's where a new creation has begun. And Paul says, the old has passed away. See, it has become new. You who have been snatched up by the word of the gospel, by Jesus himself, through baptism and faith, are a new creation. You have been recreated. You have been brought to life by the work of God. God has begun that work of new creation in you, and collectively as a people, as the church of God, we are a new creation. We are the people that God has renewed and recreated. That means that your old sinful nature has been crucified in Christ. You have died with Jesus to the power of sin. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 6, that if through baptism our death to sin is Christ's death to sin. We have been united to him in that death. And that means that his resurrection will be our resurrection as well. We have been raised to newness of life in him. And someday Jesus is going to come again, and Jesus is going to consummate this renewal of all things in the resurrection and in the new heavens and the new earth. On that day, heaven is going to come down to earth. And heaven is going to renew and restore this world, renew and restore this creation to what God wills it to be, not the mess that we've made out of it. It will be made perfect. It will be healed and it will be whole. And all the things that mark evil in this world will be gone. And Paul says it as a done deal in this passage from 2 Corinthians. He says the old has passed away. It has become new. He does that because in Jesus, it's a certainty. This is not a, I hope. You know how we always say that? Well, I kind of hope this works out. I hope that this comes about. That's not the kind of hope we live in. The kind of hope we live in as Christians is a certain hope. It's a certain hope because Jesus never lies. Jesus is the truth. And what Jesus says will come about because he is the Lord God. So here's the thing, we didn't make this come about. We didn't make this new creation come about. It was not our work that brought about this situation. No, it was all a gift from God through Christ. As Paul says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. All this is from God. God did the work of restoring it. God did the work of fixing the problem. God reconciled us to himself in Christ. So it's all grace. It's all gift. It's all God showering his good things upon us, sinners. And yet at the same time, this grace sets us free to undertake the ministry of reconciliation to which God calls us. Now, we need to be clear about something here. When Paul says that we are called to a ministry of reconciliation, he is not first and foremost talking about us being the kind of people who are going to fix all the problems of the world, who are going to bring about some lasting world peace. We've been trying that for 2,000 years. Hasn't worked out real well yet, has it? That is not our job to do that. God will bring about peace in the end, fully and finally. We live in a difficult, sin-filled time in the meantime. No, what Paul is talking about is that we have a calling to share the gospel with the world. After all, what the gospel is a message of reconciliation. But it's a message of reconciliation between God and this broken, sinful world. It's a message that God has done everything necessary in Jesus Christ to put this world right with Him again. That's what the gospel is. It's a message of reconciliation, and we are called to be ambassadors of that message of reconciliation, to carry that out to the world. As Paul puts it, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. The message that we are called to bring to the sinful world as those who have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ is the message that God in Christ has fixed the problem of sin and death. God in Christ has conquered sin, taken it away from us. He has defeated the power of death in His resurrection, and that means that He no longer holds our sin against us. He won't, ever. That means we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. That's what the church is called to do as ambassadors for Christ, to carry that good news out into the world. Now, the result of that, of course, is that where the gospel takes hold, there will be healing, and healing can spread among people, and peace in a sort of worldly sense can begin to take shape through that. But it's the gospel, it's God behind the gospel that will do that work, not us. So God is using us as the instruments through which He's making His appeal to the world, calling the sin-sick world to trust in Him. Why? Because He loves us. Because He desires that we be healed. He desires that we be reconciled to Him. He desires that we be brought back into the fold. He's like the father in the parable of the prodigal son that we just heard this morning, right? Yearning to have His people come back and be His. This is the message that we, the church, are called to carry into the world. Now, the only way that we can do that, the only way we can carry out that calling, is because we have first heard the gospel ourselves. We have first heard it and believed it. And Paul sums up that gospel message beautifully there in chapter 5, verse 21 of 2 Corinthians. If you ever want a shorthand for the gospel, somebody says, what's the gospel in a nutshell? There's a lot of good verses out there, but this is one of the good ones, really good ones. Paul says, for our sake, He, God the Father, made Him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, who had no sin of His own, was made to be sin by our sins. He took our sins upon Himself. Every foul up we've made in this life, every way that we have hurt another person, every way that we have failed to do the things God calls us to do, that we failed to be the loving people God calls us to be, Jesus took all of that on His own shoulders, and He was made sin for our sake. That is, He became the sinner of all sinners there on the cross, the worst human being that ever lived. Not because He was that in Himself, but because He was carrying all of our sin on Him. And He suffered with it, and He died for it. He took it all down into death. Why? So that we might become the righteousness of God, Paul says. That is, because of what Jesus did in taking our sin away from us and becoming sin for us, God now declares us His righteous people. That's what we call the happy exchange, or the joyous exchange. This is where Jesus has taken everything that belongs to us and he has given us everything that belongs to him. He has taken all of our sin and our shame and our guilt, and he has turned around and given us his righteousness, his righteous standing before God, so that when God looks at us now, God no longer sees the sinner. God sees one who is right with him. So my friends, this is who you are because of what Jesus has done. You are righteous. You are the people who have been made right with God through Jesus Christ. And again, it's not because of what you've done. It's not because you've lived a perfect life. God knows none of us has done that. It's not because you've done enough good works. We're not with the scales theology here, right? Balancing out our good works between our bad works. That's not Christianity. Nope. You are righteous because God says you are righteous through Jesus. In other words, when God looks at you, he doesn't see a sinner anymore. When he looks at you, he sees his son who covers you. And isn't that the kind of thing that changes how you look at the whole world? Amen.